Hey, what's going on, everybody? I like thank you all for tuning into the show. As always, I got my homie with me, Tyler. I'm Trey, and we're coming your way with the 111th edition of the Don't Kill the Messengers podcast. For this episode, we're going to pretty much strictly stick to basketball, the NBA. So we're just about to get right into these free agency and just some of the moves that these NBA teams have been making so far. It's been a crazy summer so far for the NBA, man, with the new moves that we got for players going to these teams. Just to start it off with free agency, man, with some of these decisions, man, do you think some of these athletes were kind of quick to make their decision on what team they were playing for? Because, like, we had LeBron for this, since he just, like, soon as the first got here, he just decided that he was going to pack up his bags to go to L.A., which is no problem with that, but, man, there was still just a lot of time left to, you know, discuss it with the wife and kids and whatnot for a lot of these athletes. You think it was kind of too quick to make those decisions, or what? How do you feel about that?
No, I mean, if you kind of look at, you know, some of the big headline name players either moving or staying put, you know, think about it. Boogie Cousins has had since his injury to think about what he wants to do.
Yeah.
He wasn't playing anymore, and to be quite honest, I don't think he really cared what happened with the Pelicans at that point.
Yeah.
And I think anybody with a brain knows LeBron's been thinking about this for, what, 2 years?
Yeah.
So it's, to me, it's not so much that they're making a quick decision. I think it's they know what they want to do, so they're just doing it.
Yeah. You know, I feel the exact same way about that. I think just with them making it early, man, I just think that they pretty much had that decision locked down a while ago on what they were doing. So I agree with that completely. Before these to start off with these moves, man, let's get right into it, man. Of course, we got to talk about King James with LeBron going to the L.A. Lakers, man. Happy for that one, but just thoughts on that one.
Yeah, to me, it doesn't matter where LeBron goes. He's a fit. And, you know, I don't think anybody's super surprised that he went. You know, I figured he might stay in Cleveland and just kind of play that out. But, you know, I'm not shocked at all that he's going to the Lakers.
Yeah. What was the key thing that, like, kind of made you think he was going to stay in Cleveland?
Yeah, I don't know. Part of me just kind of thought that, I mean, being LeBron James, you can get whoever you want to play with you. It's not like you have to fight for some of these guys.
Yeah.
Granted, you're not going to be breaking up Houston, and you're not going to be breaking up Golden State, but just about anybody else, if you said, hey, come play with me, I don't know anybody that's saying no.
Yeah.
You know, I thought he would stay. The hometown. I don't know if it was just me, and I guess I'll ask your opinion too. Like, did you kind of feel like LeBron's always like one, like another player away?
Yeah.
Like if they could have landed a Kawhi, or if they could have, you know, maybe got Boogie to come to Cleveland, it always just felt like LeBron was a player away.
Yeah.
And, you know, granted they got swept this year, but I mean, look at LeBron's team. He had nobody.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, I always felt like it's not the fact that LeBron needs to be out to win the championship. I think, you know, I think he's realizing that, you know, the front office just isn't doing enough to help him.
Yeah, I can agree with that, man. With a guy like LeBron, an unselfish basketball player that he can always elevate the players around him, it would always seem like, you know, yeah, he was just one player away from getting the job done. And especially, you know, just having a disappointing season like that in Cleveland, the whole J.R. Smith situation and whatnot. You know, I think that kind of continued to play a role with his decision as well. So it's, you know, like I said, I'm happy he's going to L.A., man. It's my favorite team. I'm going to be excited to see what he can bring to the table and how he can develop that young core around him to rise up and just get better. So I'm really excited for that. So just waiting to see what the possibilities would be for him in L.A. with the addition of LeBron alone, man, what do you see LA doing? Do you think going to the playoffs?
I think they're easily in the playoffs. Don't think they'll be a one seed. I don't even think they'll be a two seed.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I could see them in that 3-5 range, which I think is very still, you know, respectable in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
I think where we're going to see the most intrigue with LA, at least in my opinion, is not what's happening with LeBron, but more, you know, what's Brandon Ingram going to do? Who's going to start at point guard?
Yeah.
You know, just some of these other players, I think it's going to be interesting to see how the team kind of revolves around LeBron.
Yeah.
You know, how is Luke Walton going to coach?
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I think what Luke Walton has going for him at this point is he's coached Golden State, so he knows what it's like to have five guys on the floor that can literally all play.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think what we can expect is we can definitely expect playoffs. I also think we'll expect, or at least I'm expecting it, late next season, I think toward the deadline, we're going to see the Lakers make a move or two. I still think that team's going to need a little bit of help.
I agree with that.
You know, I still think they need I don't think they have a really good shooter unless the kid out of Kansas, if they bring him up, but I don't know if they want to, you know, throw him in there or if they want to sign, you know, a veteran who's just a pure shooter, but
yeah,
I still think the Lakers need a couple pieces.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Up next, we'll still stick to L.A., my man Rajon Rondo. I'm a huge fan of him. He's gone to L.A. to sign with them for a year. Really going to be just interesting to me, man, to see, like, how you said before, like, who's going to start at point guard. If you have Ball, he's a great playmaker. Had a lot of assists last year. He can get some boards, too. Needs to work on his, you know, shooting, obviously. But he's a great player. Then you have Rondo. Just an awesome playmaker, knows how to get those assists up, pretty good defender, and just was absolutely amazing last year in the playoffs for the Pelicans. So he really stepped his game up. So it's going to be kind of intriguing to see how the Lakers offense will kind of manage with those two. Because I just like the with Rondo, too. You know, you have LeBron, he's a playmaker, but Rondo's a playmaker as well. He can kind of let LeBron play off the ball and whatnot. He doesn't need to have the ball in his hands all the time on the court. We got to play with a maker like Rajon Rondo. But, yeah, just thoughts of that, man. If you could break that down some more, just with that, like, who do you think would end up getting the starting position, in your opinion, or how do you think the Lakers could handle that situation with Rondo?
Yeah, personally, I don't know what's going to happen. I think we're looking at, I think obviously Rondo's proven. He does have, you know, some flags that, you know, could hinder the Lakers. I think we all know he has, you know, some, you know, personality issues, some chemistry issues with almost every team he's been on before.
Yeah.
But I also look at it and say, you know, the Lakers aren't going to bring him in if they don't think he's going to contribute.
Yeah.
I also think bringing in a point guard shows that they're not, you know, I think they're sold
also,
on
also, with that whole situation, there was rumors going around, too, of them possibly trading Lonzo Ball, too. So,
yeah,
that
I don't think
possibly happened down a few years. You're talking about the deadline, or you think they're going to
still No, I, yeah, I think they're going to still keep Lonzo. I mean, okay. You got him on that rookie contract.
Yeah.
So you're paying him next to nothing. And in reality, he could be a poor man's Rondo.
Yeah.
At this point,
man. You know, you just brought that up, but you know, Rondo, he's a veteran in the league. Him and LeBron are veterans. Both got championship experience. Just with this young core, with their ability to just teach these guys and make them learn, I think. Lonzo Ball, particularly him being a point guard, this is a great opportunity for him to learn from a guy like Rondo. That would be huge for him. So whether he starts or back up or what, him to have a guy like Rondo that could be in his ear and, you know, explain to him the game and let him be open out for, you know, other point guards out there that he's played against and stuff, that's going to be a huge help too. So just that alone is all going to be awesome for him.
End of the day, I think Lonzo is the game one starting point.
Okay. Either way, man, I'm just happy my guy's on the team, man. I was the guy, Rondo, always wanted him to be a Laker, man. So that's just good to see. So, you know, whether he's starting, you know, he's backing up next to him, I really think he's going to be a huge help to this team, to help these Lakers, you know, make it to the playoffs and whatnot. So it's good to see my guy on the roster. Up next, we have DeMarcus Cousins, a.k.a. Boogie. With him making a move to go to Golden State for about $5 million a year, a little over $5 million a year. What was your thoughts on that when that first went down, man?
Yeah, a little surprising. You know, I always felt like DeMarcus Cousins was going to chase the dollar.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we've put so much premium on winning a championship that players are willing to, you know, take pay cuts to take role cuts on a team even. You know, I think it's just the idea that, you know, we talk, if you want to be great, you have to win a championship. And I think that's such a false notion that you have to win a championship. I mean, how many good players haven't won a championship in any sport? I mean, I think, you know, being from the Detroit area, we could talk about Barry Sanders. I don't think anybody's sitting around saying, he wasn't great. He never won a Super Bowl. Like, I'm sorry, Boogie Cousins is a really good player. Is he a Hall of Fame player? Probably not. Not without a ring, at least. But I just don't understand why we can't allow players to be really good without a ring.
That's one thing, you know, that kind of pisses me off, man. It's kind of been peeving me for a couple years now, man. You know, especially a guy like me. I'm a guy that loves, you know, boxing and MMA. So when you have, like, you know, the, I'll just mention some of the all-time greats, like the Roy Jones, the Mayweathers, the Alis, the Mike Tysons in the world. When those guys talk about championships, at the end of the day, they were the ones that was in the ring by themselves and got those championships. That was an individual accomplishment. Now, don't get me wrong, they had their cut men, they had the trainers to help back them up and to help back them up and prepare them for the fights. But at the end of the day, they were in the ring by themselves, going out there, going at it to accomplish that. From, you know, kids and growing up, when we talk about, you know, basketball or football, we always talk about, you know, this is a team sport, this is an accomplishment. So when you sit up here and, you know, you talk about a player, you know, he has a ring. Okay, that's nice and all, but guess what? He didn't accomplish that ring all by himself. You know, I don't care, you know, how good LeBron was or, you know, Jordan was or whatever. It wasn't, you know, the Supersonics against Michael Jordan, Supersonics against the Bulls, you know, or whatever. You know, this was a team accomplishment, so... You know, I get it. It's always good to have those accolades, but, you know, especially coming from a team sport, that is just something that kind of always, you know, kind of pisses me off a little bit when you just hear guys, you know, bragging about, oh, well, he has this many rings. He doesn't have that ring. It's like, that's cool. He does have that many rings, but he also had players around him that was helped backing him out, backing him up on the court, or on the field or whatever. So. That's just, you know, that's just something that kind of bothers me just with the whole ring talk, as it is, you know, especially just with us growing up around sports. We always talk about team, team, team. And then, you know, you're bringing up the individual talking about a ring as if they won it by themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I mean, when we always talk about, you know, Kobe winning those early rings, it's always, oh, Kobe and Shaq. You know, but it's like, but then when we talk about just overall rings, people go, oh, well, yeah, but Kobe is six. Or five. Kobe is five. It's like, well, yeah, well, does it matter that he won him with Shaq or doesn't it? You know, and like everybody says, you know, Jordan needed Pippen to come along, and you know, Steph Curry wasn't winning them before some other guys came along, and
yeah,
LeBron didn't win them until he had to get help.
Yeah.
I don't understand why we feel like you have to do it all by yourself.
Yeah,
and exactly. And like it's the whole thing. You have to do it by yourself. It has to be your own individual accomplishment, you know, or else you're criticized. It's like that. It's terrible, and that's the one reason I am not a big fan of the NBA right now, because we put so much pressure on the championship, we put so much pressure on, you know, these, you know, the label of being great to the ring, and it forces players to do stuff like this. It forces Kevin Durant to go to Golden State. It's forcing Boogie Cousins to go, you know, to Golden State. Yeah. It's, you know, looking like it's going to be forcing Carmelo to go to Houston.
Yeah.
Like, in reality, the NBA should be an 8-team league.
Pretty much.
And all the players should just go to those 8 teams, and then every other franchise should just fold.
Yeah. Because, it's just a shame. You know, like I said this before with you. With the MLB, NFL, NHL, and so forth, you're going to have your favorites. You're going to have your teams out there that people are, going to have a strong, pick to win a championship. But just because, they have their favorites, those favorites aren't going to win it every single year. We have situations like this, with guys, already going to championship teams. All-stars already going to championship teams. It's like, why even watch now? It's kind of just like killing the suspense of even getting excited for the season. So that's just, that's really starting to piss me off, with the NBA, just how the DeRozan is going down. With that, just guys already just packing up, going to already just championship teams. It's like, just why even bother watching this stuff? So it's ridiculous. Now, do you think with that Cousins move to Golden State, do you think like Adam Silver or the guys should like get together and like try to come up with some rules or anything to try to like balance this out or something like that?
I mean, the only reason I say he can is because if it's free agency, you can't really tell a player like, hey, you can't go there for the amount of money that you're willing to take to be there.
Yeah.
That's not really the player's fault.
Yeah.
But, I do. It almost leaves me speechless just because, the whole situation can lead to literally only the NBA having like 16, 18.
Yeah.
And, I mean, as of right now, legitimately probably only 4 teams in the NBA can win the championship. And everybody knows it, and I think it makes the NBA very undesirable.
Yeah.
I think this year we're going to see the NFL of way higher numbers than the NBA in terms of big games, big events, total viewership. And it's sad for the NBA in one hand, but the NBA is still going to be the NBA, and it's still going to have so it'll be what it is. The NBA is still going to be around.
Yeah, sure. All right, anything else to add for that? Or?
No.
Okay. Also, man, we got to talk about Paul George deciding to stay with OKC. It's pretty surprised with this one, man, especially there was all this news going out with him a year prior, talking about how bad he wanted to go to L.A., and whatnot. I really thought he was going to be the guy that was going to end up landing there. But, as I say, man, money talks. He got a nice little big offer and decided to stay with OKC, man. Were you shocked at all by that? Or?
Yeah, I was. I thought, they may, or he may try to, join LeBron in L.A. or join somebody somewhere. But it looks like, and I'm sure he knew that Carmelo was going to take an exit, which would just mean a bigger role for him. I don't blame him. I still think Oklahoma City can kind of float in that, spot in the West.
Yeah. Do you think Melo was kind of holding Paul George and Westbrook back in a way?
Yeah, if any of those three were holding them back, it would have been Carmelo.
Okay.
I just feel like he's the one who wants the most for the least. Okay. You know, he wants to take a lot of shots, but doesn't really play defense. Paul George will play defense, but wants the shots too. And then, you know, Westbrook's just doing it all. So, you know, I think Carmelo would have slowed that team down a little bit if I had to pick one of those three. So I think with him leaving, Paul George staying actually makes sense, even though it is a little surprising.
Yeah. All right. Up next, we have Brook Lopez to the Bucks. Just how do you feel about that one?
It's kind of a, you know, a low-key signing that could actually be a pretty good one. You know, the Bucks haven't had, you know, a good big man in a long time. I mean, Andrew Bogut wasn't even really that great with them. So, you know, I feel like he can find a pretty good role here, be a big man, average, you know, 14 points, hopefully grab about 8-9 rebounds. You know, he'll be a solid player. He's a solid NBA player. I think he's undervalued a little bit. You know, I think he can really provide a lot to a team. But with the Bucks being so young, I feel like he could provide a really good, better presence.
Yeah. Me, overall, man, I think they're going to be adding a good, they're going to be upgrading their center position by adding Brook Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the biggest Brook Lopez fan in the world. you know, that's just me, but I really think this could be a good place for him to shine. But just overall, man, I'm just disappointed in this whole Bucks team, man. With the talent that they had, we're going to get to Jabari in a little bit, but with the guys that they had on their roster, man, that team should have been raising hell. Last year, with the guys that they had. Now they're starting to break up the team a little bit, but it's going to be interesting to see how they'll incorporate Brook Lopez in there. But this team should have been a lot better in previous years. What was going on?
I agree.
Okay, now we have DeAndre Jordan to the Mavericks. This was supposedly rumors was going on, years ago that was where he wanted to go. I think he had the opportunity to go to Dallas a couple of years back, but he ended up switching on him. But now he's there, man. He's going to be playing next to Dirk. And I got Luka Doncic down there, too. So how do you think DeAndre Jordan will be able to help out this Mavericks team? And you think that's a good fit for him?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a good fit for him. He'll get some good young guard play there. You know, so hopefully some guys that could throw the lobs to him. You know, I he's not going to help a team at the free throw line, you know. Anybody knows that. Yeah. You know, he's still very solid offensively, really good defensively. He's really an all-around player. I also think he's another one of those players that's undervalued by the fans. You know, he big part of that Lob City team.
Yep.
And it was fun to watch, but I think people kind of saw him, all he can really do is dunk the ball. Well, no, the guy plays really good defense.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think he's going to toughen them up a little bit on the inside. You know, they tried the Nerlens Noel experiment, and that just didn't happen. That just hasn't panned out for any team that's tried it. But, I mean, I think he's going to be a really good addition for that team, playing alongside Dirk. I think he'll up his shooting a little bit, possibly from the free throw line. But, you know, just solid addition here, I think.
Yeah. You know, since we're talking about the Mavericks too, man, just how long do you think, man, Dirk has left? Man, you think, what, another year, 2 years, or what?
Yeah, I mean, he keeps signing these one-year deals. Wouldn't be shocked if this is kind of it. But I think I've said it before. You know, he's not going to be the guy to say this is it and use it as a parade for himself. I don't think that's Dirk.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if this is it. If he stays really healthy, I'd give it one more, but I would imagine this is probably it.
Yeah. It's interesting, man, because I think Dirk is probably my favorite power forward of all time, man. Just how he revolutionized the game with his style of play, introducing the NBA to that Euro style of basketball. Just phenomenal. So, just going to be keeping track of him, man, just seeing how long he's going to continue to give it. We all know he's definitely getting ready to close the door on him, so just, see how long he's got. Mm-hmm. Now, another one, this is a guy that I'm really going to be, just excited to watch and going to be rooting for this year, and that's Isaiah Thomas, man. Took a huge fall from grace and said it plenty of times, man, from being in the MVP discussion to just, barely making it to teams, man, with him now. So it's been a crazy ride, but he signed with the Denver Nuggets. Just thoughts on him, man, what he could do for this team, just expectations for him coming into the season.
Yeah, I think Isaiah Thomas will up any team from an offensive standpoint. He's a score-first point guard. Where I think it was an interesting pickup with the Nuggets is they've struggled with point guards as of late.
Yes.
I think he could be a good fit there. Wouldn't be shocked if this season goes well for him if he decides to hang around.
Yeah.
He signed a 1-year deal.
Yeah, I believe so.
Some like $6 or $8 million or something. It wasn't a lot.
Yeah.
I think it could be a good fit for him. The Nuggets actually have some things going for him.
Yeah.
They got some nice pieces out there. I just wonder, I think everybody kind of thought Boston was going to be his place and that was going to be his town and his city, but
exactly,
it just didn't work out. And I think everybody knew when he went to
LA. 1 year, $2 million deal.
Okay, 1 year, $2 million, yeah. But I think we all knew when he was in LA that just wasn't his fit. I mean, I think we all kind of saw that.
Yeah.
But I think he can actually do fairly well in a smaller market NBA team.
Yeah.
Especially a team that's going to give him, a lot of that freedom offensively.
Yeah, I'm about to say, man, of all the times, all the teams that he's played with since leaving Boston, I think this would be the best fit for him because this would be the opportunity for him to just run wild and just do his thing and hopefully remind people who he once was. So, just have to see. All right. Anything else to add to him, Ty?
No. IT and the story that we've kind of seen develop with him, I hope this is a good landing spot for him. I really do. Last pick in the draft, and he had that whole story of, his sister dying.
Yeah.
I just hope things work out for him, just great story. But would love to see him actually land in a spot that will actually give him a solid career.
Yeah. All right. Up next, we mentioned his name a little bit earlier, but Jabari Parker decided to go to his hometown of Chicago to play for the Bulls. Going to be excited to watch him and Lauri Markkanen play next to each other, man. I'm a huge fan of Markkanen. I like that guy, man. But he's going to be heading to the Bulls. His thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's actually really interesting now that I'm living in the Chicago area, hearing the Chicago sports stations talk about him.
Yeah.
And nobody understands the signing other than the fact that this is where he's from. They're looking at it saying that, they locked up LaVine, which was the big signing for the Bulls.
Yeah.
So you got, LaVine and Markkanen as kind of the headliners. They're actually having a lot of hope in Justin Holiday. They're talking him up big time. And they look at Jabari Parker and say, okay, they're bringing in a guy who has offensive, capabilities, but is a big liability on the defensive end of the floor, as is LaVine. So they're just wondering, why are you going to bring a guy to create an even bigger hole on the defensive side of the floor, especially when you have a coach who's supposed to be this offensive mastermind and needs all the help he can get defensively? the talk here is, you know, the Bulls are going to see a lot of games where, you know, the score is 120-something to 110-something.
Yeah.
You know, there's just not going to be a lot of defense being played in Chicago this year.
Yeah, Jabari, I guess he told a reporter that they don't pay players to play defense. So, which is, you know, I kind of agree with that kind of statement a little bit. You know, we get so fascinated with guys just shooting points, you know, just who's out there just scoring and shooting the ball and everything, man. But you got to play defense, too. That's one of the reasons why I like my man Kawhi so much, man, is that, you know, he'll score on you, too, but when he's on defense, he'll lock you down. I'm going to talk about him in a little bit, but, you know, definitely defense is definitely underappreciated, especially in this day of game, man, where you're just excited to see people just jack up shots from half court and whatnot now. So, definitely undervalued in today's game.
Yeah.
All right, anything to you know, since you're from the Chicago area, what has the reception that has a lot of people, you know, do they want him in Chicago? Or are they kind of disappointed by it? Or are they cool with it?
You know, overall, I think it's a happy signing. You know, a lot of people, you know, we watched him win, you know, state championships in high school. We saw him at Duke. We know what kind of a player he could be. It's just, is he going to develop into at least an okay defender? To where when you throw him on the floor, he's just not getting burned every time.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the big questions is he still recovering from the ACL injury?
Yeah.
It's like, is he still actually recovering from that? Because it's not like he played a lot last year.
Exactly.
But you know, they're saying the offense is there, and it's great that they're getting another weapon on offense. Just the defense is what's scaring everybody.
Yeah. I like the guy. I think Jabari can play, man. I just hope that, you know, not that he was on D-Rose's level, you know, when D-Rose was at his peak, but I just hope he doesn't, you know, just crash like D-Rose did. He was playing for spectacular prior to the injuries and stuff. Just hopefully, you know, he can still move pretty good and be explosive like he once was, because those ACL injuries, man, they will tear you down. So. Mm-hmm. All right, up next, we're going to talk about a guy that once played for the Shy, Jimmy Butler. He recently turned down an extension for a lot of money for the Timberwolves. I was kind of shocked by that. but is there, you know, what do you think is behind this? You think he's kind of just playing hardball right now, or you think there's a destination in mind where he wants to play, or, you know, just what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a little bit of hardball. You know, I've never really gotten the vibe from Jimmy Butler that he's really a team guy. I've also never really gotten the vibe from him that, you know, he's willing to sacrifice. And I guess that comes back to the team guy thing.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I feel like he's really hard to read. You know, very, very good basketball player. But I just kind of wonder, you know, is he just trying to hold out for the best possible situation? Does he actually want a lot of money? I'm not even really sure what he wants.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he doesn't really, you know, he doesn't, when he talks, at least I don't hear it. You know, it doesn't sound like he's, you know, talking against those super teams. So I wonder, is he waiting for his opportunity to join one?
Mm.
Or is he, like, just trying to make as much money as he can and play basketball along the way?
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. To me, he's kind of a hard player to read, man.
Oh, yeah.
You know, exactly find out exactly what he wants. He's kind of like an unpredictable personality, but I like him. You know, he's a great, phenomenal basketball player. But that situation with the Timberwolves, I think that's another team that I was disappointed in last year. I think they could have done a little bit more concerning with the pieces that they've had on that team. So just have to see, you know. Timberwolves, I'm pretty sure they would love to keep a guy like Jimmy Butler. But just going to have to see if that's the place for him, you know, if he's, you know, the city just making him happy. So just have to see what's going to happen with him down the road, man. Now we're going to talk about news today. Seems as if Carmelo's on his way out. He's going to be heading to Atlanta in a three-team trade. I've got to look at the exact details here.
Yeah, I know Dennis Schroeder and Mike Muscala were involved, at least.
Oh, wow, Schroeder, okay.
Well, and it's funny, because Schroeder just got signed to a big deal.
Yeah.
And I find it really weird that Atlanta's willing to send those pieces out to waive Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, that team's going to be...
But I also think they're hoping Trae Young's everything and more.
Yeah, that's right. They do got Trae Young. That's correct.
Yeah, but I still find it interesting because now are you going to move Schroeder or Westbrook to the two?
Hmm.
I mean, Schroeder's a proven NBA guy. Or
yeah, he was.
Or
yeah,
does Oklahoma player. City yeah. or does Oklahoma City now trade Schroeder? Or Schrader? I think Schrader?
I think it's Schroeder.
Then Schroeder?
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, now do they look to trade him?
Yeah, that's interesting, man.
Because it just doesn't make sense that Oklahoma City would say, we want him.
Yeah.
But then again, we're not GMs, so what do we know?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, but, yeah, I mean, everybody knows, you know, Carmelo's getting waived. That's not a secret. That was never a secret in the deal. Yeah. That was public from the start. You know, it sounds like Houston's going to be the front runner, so look out.
With this, safe to say, Golden State's the, you know, favorite, you know, to win mm-hmm. it this year. But how much closer, if Houston is a team to land Carmelo Anthony, how much closer have they become to possibly overthrowing this Golden State team? Because I still think they need to work with Capella's money to pay him. So they will still have him. I think they got rid of, what's his name? Trevor Ariza. Yeah. But they still have, you know, Chris Paul and, oh my goodness, how can I, the beard, James Harden. So with them adding Carmelo to addition to the team, man, just how do you think he will help this team and possibly over? Throwing the Golden State Warriors. You think they'll be right there at them? You still think they'll need another piece? Or like, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think he helps. I don't think Carmelo hurts them. They're already a team that loves to shoot the ball, so he'll fit right in with that.
That's perfect for him, man. He likes to shoot. So.
Yeah, he does. But, you know, they need to lock down Capella. I still think they need one more bench piece. To join Gordon. But does it get them closer? Yeah, absolutely it does. Do I think they're... It's tough to gauge how close they actually are. I don't want to say the 7-game series was, you know, a fluke or anything like that, but I still think Golden State's that good.
Ooh.
I wonder, you know, what is, you know, Golden State going to look like with Boogie Cousins? Because until, and unfortunately, we won't know that for a little while into the season. But until we know that, it's going to be tough to say how close Houston actually is. I mean, think about it. They were better for 82 games last year.
Yep.
And still couldn't beat him when it counted.
Yeah. So, very true, man. I forgot to mention this when we were talking about Boogie. We were talking about the whole rings and everything. But part of me is still wondering, man, with him taking that huge of a pay cut and that injury, just how many teams, you know, were just reluctant to sign him and just how serious of an injury that was. With that, man, because for a guy as talented as him, who's taking that huge of a pay cut, man, it still kind of makes me wonder with that. So, I don't know. Is this going to be, you know, pretty much a career-ending injury for him, or is he still going to be able to play top-notch basketball like he was before?
I think he'll still be able to play really good basketball.
You think so?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah. So I mean, it's one thing, you know, for shooting guard or point guard to get it, but you know, DeMarcus Cousins is a big boy, man. With an injury like that, man, and you're his size, that can really mess you up for you to be a big and suffer from that injury. So, just something that came across my mind. You know, he's very young. He's still a young guy, so he can go out there, you know, heal and, you know, with him taking the right medicine and everything else today, I could definitely see him back on there. But that was just something that crossed my mind with him. But Ty, did you have anything else to add to the Carmelo Anthony situation?
I would love to see it just so we could see how big of a logjam the West could become. It'd be really fun to see. It really would. Plus, I would like to see how, you know, such an offensive-minded team can, you know, I guess I need to rephrase it, how Carmelo Anthony will fit in such an offensive-minded team. Because I don't think we've seen him in a team that would have that kind of firepower offensively and wants to play that kind of offensive basketball. So I think it'd be really interesting to see him in that kind of team environment.
Yeah. One thing I will say, too, you know, we talk about the West with, like, Golden State and everything, man, but I'm still very interested in how this Boston Celtics team is going to pan out this year with, you know, Kyrie. He was injured during the playoffs. But, you know, have him, Gordon, and, you know, Tatum's going to be getting better, improving this year. Rozier, you know, and those guys. So I'm just really excited to see with that Boston Celtics team, you know, even though they're my squad's rivals, but they're going to be raising some hell, you know, next year for sure. I definitely think the East is theirs to win it. So I think it's going to be theirs. But we're talking about the West, but that's the team's going to give a lot of people some trouble next year, I believe, if everybody could get the chemistry right and everything. So, just going to have to see with them. But up next, we got to talk about my boy, the silent assassin, Kawhi Leonard. With this trade for him, he's going to be going to Toronto for DeMar DeRozan, and what was the guy's last name? Let me see. Was it, I'm probably messing his name up. Was it Podol, or how do you say it? You know what I'm talking?
Yeah, it's Pedal.
Pedal, okay.
For
Pedal. To me, I think the Spurs clearly won this trade. If it was me, if I was in the Toronto Raptors office, I wouldn't have even done this trade. I just really don't think Kawhi Leonard is going to be a guy that wants to play there long term. Kind of iffy about him possibly sitting out some, you know, still using that quad excuse to this season with that whole situation that he's had. So I just don't see him fitting in with this Toronto Raptors team. You know, I was confident, like I told you before, Ty, I was confident in Paul George. You know, going to LA. So hopefully with him, he doesn't get changed his mind too. But, you know, Paul George was a guy that was out there, you know, letting it be known that he wanted to play for LA. A year later, he decided to stick with the team. So that's a possibility. But, man, I'm not really feeling this Kawhi Leonard trade for the Toronto Raptors. I think they should have stuck with DeRozan, if anything. But just thoughts on this trade and just the whole situation there.
Yeah, I find it odd you'd trade for a guy who straight up said, I don't want to play there.
Yeah.
Just, man, and I think you raised a great question. If, you know, if Kawhi Leonard gets hurt a little bit, does he use it as an excuse to sit out some more?
Yeah.
I think that's a very great point. I also wonder, you know, you were the number one team in the Eastern Conference, and you're just going to break it up.
Yeah.
Granted, you fired your head coach already, so why not get rid of your all-time leading scorer?
And two, the guy that was giving you all that hell in your conference, LeBron James, he's out of there. Mm-hmm. you wouldn't have to worry about him until possibly the NBA Finals, which,
you know, the
Lakers, I love them, but it doesn't seem like it's not going to be their year. I'm going to say that right now.
Yeah.
The guy that was giving you all that hell is gone, and you just broke the team up. Like, but go ahead,
Todd. And I also kind of ask myself, too, like, why are you trading for a guy you know is a huge price tag?
Yeah.
You know, it's not that, like, I don't think Kawhi Leonard makes them a vastly superior team to what they were last year. I just don't. I mean, are they still probably going to be one of the top two teams in the East? Yeah, most likely. But with how we're seeing all these other teams work deals and things like that, you're telling me they couldn't find a way to keep DeMar DeRozan?
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. The Spurs did not really want to let go of Kawhi, but they showed they were able to.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of surprised that Toronto was willing to deal DeRozan for it.
Yeah. Like, that was completely shocked by that, man. You know, just with how, you know, he's been playing for that team. And, you know, just with the uncertainty with Kawhi, I just don't understand why they would pull the plug on that. But, you know, Kawhi, in my opinion, he's a better player than DeRozan. But I just with that uncertainty alone, man, I would have kept DeRozan.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's crazy, man. I'm just going to have to see how that goes. With that, with Kawhi Leonard, you know, when this whole trade went down, you know, there was a lot of people talking about loyalty and whatnot. You had Isaiah Thomas tweet about loyalty with how, you know, Boston treated him. And we see how Toronto treated DeRozan. And Kawhi Leonard, he's a guy, he's willing to sit out, you know, voice what team he wants to play for. He's going to let teams know that, hey, I do not want to play with you guys. This is how the NBA was with him. Do you think more NBA players could end up, you know, pulling a Kawhi Leonard? Like, just letting people know, hey, I don't want to play with you guys. You know, I'm injured. I can't play tonight or whatever. Could you see more people doing that, stepping up and voicing a concern like Kawhi Leonard? Or do you think he's just going to be one guy out of the bunch that's just doing it?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a common thing.
Okay.
I still think there's a lot of that story that we don't know and probably will never know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think that's going to be something we see become a pattern.
Okay. All right, Ty. Just looking at these moves, man. Do you have like a favorite NBA move that's happened so far into the season? Or
I don't want to say I have a favorite. You know, I think a lot of them are good. You know, I think anytime you can add a Boogie Cousins or a LeBron James to your team, you're doing very well for yourself. But, you know, I don't necessarily want to say, you know, one was, you know, my favorite because I don't really know how they're playing out yet.
Yeah.
And I know that kind of seems very kind of backwards thinking, like, oh, then you're just going to pick the best one as your favorite. Well, I mean, I don't think anybody's going to like, you know, LeBron James if he goes to L.A. and averages 4 points a game.
Yeah.
You know? But it's the fact that the NBA is just shifting big time. And we're seeing people chase rings. And for me, it makes it tough to really to like any of the moves, because I know why a lot of these players are shifting teams.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've said it multiple times, and, you know, it's just the NBA is going to be an 8-team league before we know it. There's already only 4-ish teams that can even win the championship. So it's almost, you know, just get us through the 82-game season, and then, you know, we can actually get to what matters.
Yeah. I will say this, man. This is how this whole offseason has been going down for the NBA. really gotten a lot more excited for college basketball. I was already getting into it because of you guys now, but right now, how it is, if there's a good college basketball game on, and there's a, you know, pretty decent NBA game on, I can tell you right now, I'm going to be watching the college basketball game now, because it's just kind of getting a little bit too ridiculous, man. I just miss the overall competitiveness of the game, you know, when, you know, guys say, like Durant say, you know, hey, man, I want to beat the, you know, Steph Curry's and those guys. I don't want to join them, you know, and so forth like that. Now you just got, you know, rivals kind of teaming up with each other and stuff like that now. So it's, you know, just the overall competitiveness of the game is just really getting watered down, man. So I'm letting you know right now, like, college basketball, that's what I'm going to be really watching that a lot coming up this year. So
yeah, and college basketball is going to be really good. We got some really good names that came into it this year. So, you know, there's going to be some really good college basketball.
I'm excited for that Zion Williamson guy. Oh. Man, that guy.
Yeah, it's gonna be.
That guy's a freak.
Yeah, I hope it's not just one of those, he gets to college and then, you know, everybody's, you know, now better than him. It was just, you know, he played at some high school and just wrecked those kids, but
yeah,
I hope that's not the case. But yeah, I think we're gonna have a really good college basketball season.
Yep. So, and I think Shaq's son, he's gonna be. Yep. So, got some names out there, man. I'm gonna be excited to look out for and watch. So that's
definitely.
That's certainly, man. I'm definitely gonna be excited to check them out this year. Just another thing, man. That you know, with the Lakers, I kind of want them to give this guy a shot. He's a name not circling around that much, but he had a spectacular rookie year, and that was Jahlil Okafor. When he was his rookie year, man, he was up there getting mentioned, you know, with the Porzingis and stuff like that, and then just with the whole situation with the 76ers, with how many bigs they had or whatever, he kind of got overshadowed. Then they got rid of him, traded him to the Nets. That was just an absolute dumpster fire. So I wonder, kind of wonder if he still has some game in him. So part of me wants to see the Lakers kind of give him a shot, man, to see if he can still play. But Jahlil Okafor, that was a guy, man. His rookie year, he was making some splashes out there. But this is the whole situation of Philly and Brooklyn kind of messed him up. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Another thing, too, man, there was rumors going around that the Lakers were going to try out Chris Bosh. You think he's done, man, or you think there's any chance he'll be back in the NBA? Or
I don't know that teams are willing to take the chance. I'd love for there to still be a chance for him.
Yeah.
But I just think teams see just a really big health risk, and I don't know that anybody wants to be responsible.
Yeah.
Can't say I blame him.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, man. Those blood clots are definitely no joke to play with, man. Those will mess you up, could kill you. So, he's a guy out there, you know, he's playing spectacular. Definitely miss, you know, watching him play out on the court. He's a great basketball player. But, yeah, you know, is he even, you know, really worth the risk for any team right now? That's, you know, huge to say. So. But to close this out, man, just have you been watching the Summer League basketball for the NBA?
Yeah, I've caught a lot of highlights, at least.
Okay.
You know, I a lot of game highlights and things like that. I've definitely been keeping my eye on it.
Yeah, I've been looking at some, like, who are some, are there any names out there that kind of stuck with you that you've been watching play? You told me about Mo, man. I've been liking his highlights for the Lakers, man. He's been making some nice shots.
Yeah, he'll be a fun player, especially if given a chance. He just plays a lot of passion, you know. And all that. So, I think one player that kind of has to stand out to everybody would be, I think, not really a rookie, but Josh Hart.
Yeah.
He won Summer League MVP.
And he had some splashes last year with the Lakers where he was playing phenomenal basketball.
Yeah.
You know, I think with the Lonzo Ball injuries that he had a chance to go out there and shine and play for him. So he was ball fallen last year too, man. Just think Summer League was just as fast for him to show again that he could play. But yeah, he had some flashes last year too.
Yeah. I think Kevin Knox is turning some heads.
Yeah.
I think he had a very impressive Summer League. I think he averaged close to 20 points.
Okay.
You know, so yeah, he did. I think he could find a spot in New York, playing really well there. Another player that, you know, had a really good summer was Wendell Carter Jr. for the Bulls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he just consistent both ends of the floor. Another Duke product. So, you know, I just think that, you know, granted, you're playing against a lot of young and inexperienced type players in the summer league, but you still got to be good to show out there. There were quite a few players that did. The ones, like I said, that just caught me, you know, it's just some of the headliners, you know, Wendell Carter Jr. and Ayton and, you know, all those guys.
I gotta say my man Sexton too, man. I've been liking him too. He's been balling. He's a rookie. I'm gonna be really excited to watch too. See what he'd be able to break for the Cavs. But been liking his play in the summer league as well, man. That guy can put some points on the board. So he's gonna see what he can do. This is a point guard driven league and stuff, man. So he's gonna see what he'd be able to do. You know, against the top notch professionals in the NBA. So.
Yeah.
All right, Ty, anything else to add?
No. Basketball's quickly approaching.
Yeah.
That's for sure. So.
But all right, guys. Appreciate y'all for checking us out for the show. Hope y'all enjoyed it. Feel free to check us out on Twitter at @DKM_cast. Also, feel free to check out our podcast on YouTube, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes. Just hit up Don't Get a Messengers podcast in the search engine, and we should pop up. Other than that, we'll catch y'all on the next episode. Peace.